It has been a great week, except for the breaks, you know, going out on the highway. That was a fun adventure. Really amped up our prayer life, that's for sure. Thank the Lord it all got fixed and there were no major injuries other than to our anxiety levels, I think, skyrocket a fair bit. I'm glad that you're here today. As we start a new season, I always find, I said that September was tomorrow, but now September is tomorrow. Okay, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm correct there. But anytime that September starts, for me, I feel like this is a new year. And I know on the calendar it's not a new year, but September, for if you've had kids, you know, September is the start of all things new. And in school and those schedules, it can, as a parent, be a little bit of a chaotic time because you're trying to get everything together, right? You're trying to make sure, do we have the backpacks? Do we have the lunch kits? Do we have the proper clothes? Do we have the pencils and the pens? Are we ready for this new season that's coming? But I think for the church, September is an exciting time. Because we get to pull in that it's a new year, it's a new beginning, it's a new season. What is God going to do? So I'm here for it. We've got a lot of ministries happening, starting up again in the next few weeks. And so we're going to be talking more about those on Sunday mornings. And as Pastor Tyler said, in the Weekly Connect. So let's get in there and see what God's going to do in this next year. Would you pray with me as we get into the word this morning? Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you speak to us through your word. Lord, I pray that today our hearts would be open to hear from you. Lord, that we would receive what it is that you have for us today. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. This morning, I want you to imagine a scene. I've tried to set the stage a little bit for you to give you a bit of a hint, but you are athletes. Okay, each one of you, you are an athlete. If you came in thinking I'm not an athlete, I'm here to tell you, turn on that imagination. You are an athlete, specifically a football player. And you're sitting in your house one day and the phone rings. And you pick up the phone and it is the owner of the team. You know, the team. And he calls you up and he says, hey, Lizzie, hey, John, hey, Tyler, I've got some good news for you. Today is the day that I'm calling you to join the team. I want you on the field. I want you out there making plays. In fact, I've sent over to your house a jersey. It has your name on it. We are ready to go. All I need from you is to step on the field and to get in the game. And man, excitement is kind of stirring in your heart because you're talking to the owner and he says, I want you. He goes on to say, and don't worry about anything. I've got the playbook. I'm going to give it to you. You're going to know exactly what's coming. Know what to expect. I've got the game plan. I know the end. I know where we're headed. I've got it all figured out. And so you're so excited. You're like, yes, this is the day that I have been waiting for. I'm excited to go on the field. And you start to think about what that might look like. When I get out on the field, I'm going to start making plays. I'm going to be making yards. I'm going to be doing great things for my team. And there is just this anticipation building because you know that you have an important role to play. The coach, when he called you, he said, you are meant to make a difference on this team. I've got a place for you. And so as you're dreaming and kind of envisioning what this day might look like, what this game might be, you also start to realize that with every yard you take, there's opponents on the other side. And they're trying to take you down. They're like full bore chasing after you to tackle you to the ground. And you start to think, yeah, I think I got what it takes. Like the owner said, I have what it takes. But there's this massive, what would he be called? Linebacker who's going to attack me, right? That's terrifying. And so you've got this excitement, but then there's also a little bit of fear that's beginning to creep in. Fear that says, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I don't have what it takes. There's doubt. Maybe the owner called the wrong guy, right? Maybe it wasn't supposed to be me. Because I'm going to get knocked down. I know it when I get out there. I'm going to make some mistakes. I'm going to probably fumble the ball occasionally. You know what? Let's just look through the jerseys and see what we've got. Okay, so you move the paraphernalia out of the way. You put on your hat like a good sports person. And you start going through your jerseys. Yeah, wrong player. I don't know. That's not my name. Definitely not. Let's see. Oh, I found the one with my name on it. Look at that. That's looking pretty. Oh, what's this one? That's interesting. This one that says fan on it. Huh. Well, I know the owner said that I should grab the jersey with my name on it. I am excited to get out there on the field and to play. But those linebackers are huge. Maybe it might just be easier, safer, better for me if I just become the fan. Yeah, I want to be the fan. I want to wear my fan jersey. I'm stuck. Got my hat on. Grab my popcorn. It's still coming. Give me a second. Wow. It's never been so hard to get popcorn out of a bag. And I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to watch the game. Missed my mouth. Awesome. I could see everything happening from here. I can see the game being played. I can cheer people on. This is comfortable. This is safe. This is good. Cheryl, you want some popcorn? I know you do. She loves the savory snacks. Enjoy. Uh-huh. So you're sitting there, you're just enjoying watching the game from the comfort of the bench, right? But you begin to hear this voice that's calling you, this voice that's saying, you're not meant to be just a fan. You're not meant to sit on the sidelines eating your chips with your fan jersey on. You are meant to get in the game. You are meant to put on the jersey that has your name on it because I need you. You were meant to make a difference. Now this morning, when you think about this, and now we come back to reality, we know that our world, our life, it's not a game. It's real. We have real opponents out there. We've got things that we're meant to do, and we are actively in it. But see, our world, it's not a game. What it is a kingdom. Pastor Tyler talked last week about it being the kingdom of God, that we have been called to be a part of God's kingdom, not the kingdom of the world. We are meant to have both feet in God's kingdom, watching, moving according to his principles, his plays. And so these principles of the game, these ideas, this imaginative game, the principles track into God's kingdom in this way, that God called you. He called you by name. He put your name on the jersey. And he said, you are on my team. I want you to be out there making plays. God told you that he had a game plan, that he knows the end. He knows the beginning. He knows everything in between. God gave you the playbook. He gave you the Bible. And he said, everything that you need to know is right here in my word. And he is saying to you, would you get in the kingdom? Would you get in the right kingdom? Would you get off of the bench? Would you stop being in the world and get into what I have called you to do? He's saying, don't sit on the bench because I called you on purpose for a purpose. Why? Because I called you to make a difference. So what is the purpose? The purpose we read about in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. It says, this is Jesus speaking, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So there's two pictures that Jesus gives his followers here. One of being the salt of the earth and the other being the light of the world. And we're going to look at both of those and how it applies to us today when we're talking about getting in the kingdom, being a part of the kingdom. So first he says, you are the salt of the earth. So I want us to take a moment and think about the qualities of salt, but specifically the qualities of salt as it existed in the times of Jesus. Okay, in Jesus' time, salt was valuable. Right now, any of us could go over to the grocery store and, you know, a couple bucks and you buy a massive thing of salt. But in the days of Jesus, salt was this precious commodity. It was valuable. It was worth something. In fact, we have a saying today that someone is worth their weight in salt. That came from the Bible times for the Roman soldiers. When they would do a good work, at times they were actually paid in salt. That's how much it was worth. It had value. It was precious. And it wasn't meant to just sit on a shelf. It was meant to be used, to be spent. That was the purpose of salt, to be used. So it had this valuable worth. But the second thing that it was is that it had these qualities of purifying and preserving. So again, in the days of the Bible, we all know this, there was no refrigeration. So if you wanted to make something last, what you would do would be to preserve it with salt, to case that thing in salt so that it would last. It's very interesting to me that the purification qualities of salt, what it would do is it would basically draw out the impurities and then it would encase it so that it would last. It actually brought health. It took away harm and it brought health. In a sense, salt brought life. Today, if you go to your doctor and he's like, hey, lay off the salt, you could say, but my pastor said salt brings life. Don't say that. But salt in those days, it had this preserving and purifying quality that actually brought life. So not only was it valuable, not only did it preserve, not only did it purify, but it also seasoned. And it still seasons today. My kids love salt. They would open that bag of popcorn and then they would shake on more and more salt. We're like, did you not know? Do you need some salt, Cheryl? Like, it's already salted. But salt seasons. It makes things better. We add salt to food in order to enhance the flavor. What salt does is it makes something else better. Salt by itself, useless. Cheryl, is this any good to you sitting here? I've never done it. Right, like you could like do this, but as long as it's sitting here in my hand, it is of no use to you, right? Because salt sitting by itself doesn't have a purpose. The Bible tells us that it's useless. It should be thrown out and trampled underfoot. In order for salt to be fulfilling its purpose, it has to be poured out. It has to be shaken. It has to be spread out to something else in order for it to be fulfilling its purpose. So we've got salt. You are the salt of the earth. We're going to talk more about that and how that personally applies to us in a moment. But the other image that Jesus gave was of the light of the world. He said, not only are you the salt of the earth, but you are also the light of the world. Now, this is very interesting because there's another time when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. In fact, there are 7 I am statements that Jesus made about himself, things that were his attributes, his character, one of them being, I am the light of the world. But here to his followers, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And that makes me ask the question, how? How am I the light of the world? Jesus, you said you were the light of the world. But the way that he says that we are the light of the world is because he has put his light in us. It is his light in us when he called us into his kingdom. When he said, hey, by name, I want you. I see you. I value you. Would you come and be a part? In that moment, his light comes into us. And we are meant to shine his light out. The scriptures tell us here that we are not to hide the light. You don't light something and then cover it up. That's completely bonkers. You light something so that the light shines out. So that the light is shared with others. See, when we put on the fan jersey, the one that's just like, I'm just going to sit here, I'm going to watch from afar, that's just like we lit something and put a bowl over top of it. The light's not going anywhere. It's just sitting with me. I'm keeping it to myself. It reminds me of that song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to keep it to myself. No, like that's crazy. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. How do we let God's light shine? In Exodus chapter 34, there's a really cool story. This is when Moses went up to the mountain to meet with God, and God was giving him the law, the Ten Commandments, how the people were to live. And for many, many days, Moses spent this time just in the presence of his God. And when he came down from the mountain, we are told that Moses' face was shining because he had spent time with God. How do we shine the light? We spend time with our God. Moses encountered him. Moses sat with God. He listened to him. He received from him. And then the light of God literally shone off of him when he came down from the mountain. See, he was changed from the inside out, and people noticed. See, he didn't just shine and people like, cool, Moses, see you tomorrow. They were like, what is happening? You are literally shining. How cool is that? People noticed. They saw the difference. They saw the light of God shine through him. So when Jesus says to his followers, to us, you are the light of the world, we are not supposed to hide that light. The difference should be visible. You were meant to make a difference. People should see the change. Now, we're going to take off the fan jersey because we're not going to stay fans here anymore. We're going to find the jersey with my very beautiful name on it. Look at that handiwork. Because when we choose to be the salt of the earth, and to be the light of the world, as Jesus tells us that we are, it's like we are saying, I get it, Jesus. I'm in the game. I'm in your kingdom. And I want people to see that I am doing your work, that I am making a difference, because I know that you have called me to make a difference. Whose team you're on should be known. Which kingdom you are a part of should be obvious, in that your words change, right? Now you're speaking from the team playbook. Your words, your language, it should be different than what it was when you were just a fan, or what it was before you were even a fan. We should be different. Our behavior changes because now we're listening to our God. We're listening to the coach. We're running his plays. So our behavior should be different. Our attitude, our countenance, shining the light, it should all be marked by visible change. But what's the purpose of it all? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says this, that others will see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. There's two parts to this verse, that others will see you. They will see your good works, but then secondly, they will glorify your Father in heaven. The world is watching. The world is watching us. The world is watching the church. What will they see? When they see us, when they look, are they going to see fans sitting on the sidelines? Or will they see changed people who are changing others, who are making a difference in God's kingdom? They will glorify who? Not you. They will glorify your Father in heaven. Yes, they see you doing the work. They see your good works, but then they turn and they see God through you. See, the Bible is very clear that we are not saved by works. We are saved by faith. We are saved by grace. And we need to know that, and we need to hold on to that. You are saved not because of anything that you did, but only because of what Jesus Christ did for you. It is his grace, and it is by faith that you have been saved, not by works. However, at the same time, Jesus calls us to walk in good works, to operate in good works, to show that we have been changed by our God. We need to be working in the ways that God has called us to work, by spreading his love, by shining his light, by speaking his truth. They will see your good works, your change, the salt, the light, but then they will be drawn to God to glorify him, so that through you, they see Jesus. You are meant to make a difference. I believe there's four ways. We're going to focus in on four that we can make a difference this morning from this passage. The first is to know your worth. Know your worth. That God called you. He called you by name. And he said, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. I love you. You have value and you have worth. I think one of the greatest tools of the enemy is to get us to think that we are not worthy of being on the team. I think Satan loves to pick at our worth and our value and to say, oh, see, she fumbled the ball. Bench her. Oh, look, she's not running very fast. We better knock her aside. And we honestly do it to ourselves. I'm not very good. I'm not as good as that person. Have you seen what they can do? Whoa. I can't do that. I'm just going to sit here and watch. I'm going to cheer them on. Go team! God wants you to know your worth. He wants you to know that you have value, that he called you because you have a purpose, because you have value. You have worth. It doesn't matter how many times you fumble the ball. God sees you and has a plan and a place for you. Know your worth. Know your worth. Put on the jersey with your name on it and get in the game. Secondly, purify and preserve. We are called to be the salt of the earth. And here's something that we need to know. Jesus doesn't say, hey, if you want to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, cool, sign up here. He's like, are you a follower of me? Awesome. You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. So guys, you are either walking in the calling that God has for you or you are being disobedient. You are either being the salt of the earth and the light of the world or you're not. So part of being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, knowing your worth, but also stepping into this purification and preserving properties where we sprinkle salt on others. How do we sprinkle salt on others? Because you're not taking table salt and going and throwing it on someone. That will just make people mad, okay? When we sprinkle salt on others from a biblical perspective, what it means is that we are making a big deal about our God to others. And we do that through testimony. I think it's important that we remember what we were saved from. What were you preserved and purified from? Have you told someone about that? When you go out and you engage with your friends, when you go out and you talk to your family, are they seeing a change in you? And are you giving testimony to the God who purified you, who saved you? Are you making a big deal about him? Because that is how you walk in that property of preserving and purifying. Jesus is the one who does the finished work, but our part is to make a big deal about him. Our part is to say what he has done for us and allow him to do the rest. So know your worth, purify and preserve, and then season. This goes hand in hand with the purifying and preserving, where we sprinkle Jesus' salt on others. We do this by making a difference, by going out and actually doing those good works that we have been called to do. But we don't do them in our own name. We don't do it so that Lizzie gets the glory. We do it so that God gets the glory. So we are Jesus' hands and feet in our world, not for our glory, but for his. We have an opportunity every single day to make a positive impact in our world, to make a difference in the lives of those that we encounter. We get that chance every day. I used to think, man, I am so just, I'm a small one person, like in the middle of wherever I was living at the time. How can I change the world? I can't do it. God isn't calling you to change the entire world. He's calling you to change one thing today, to make an impact maybe in one person's life, because you have no idea the ripple effects of that impact, of that change, of that salt sprinkling. What might happen after they have encountered God in that way? So we get to make a difference. Your changed life has the power to change others because of Jesus. Know your worth, purify and preserve, season with salt, and then shine. Don't hide away. Don't sit on the sidelines. Don't be a fan. Be in it. Get in God's kingdom and make a difference because you were meant to make a difference. Shine. Allow people to see Christ in you and through you. You know that someone is like, I mean, do you have any doubt who Tyler's favorite team is? He loves the Seahawks. Why do you know that? Because his whole life is about them. But I hope that what you know about him more than he likes the Seahawks is that he loves his God, because everything that is about him shines the love of Jesus to a world. And do we allow that light to shine, that people see you and they will glorify their Father in heaven? Harvest Church, we are meant to make a difference in Nanaimo. We are meant to make a difference here. But it takes us getting out of our chairs to do it. It takes us getting out of the church building sometimes to do it, right? It takes us going out into the city and looking for opportunities to shine the light of Jesus, to sprinkle his salt into a world that desperately needs him. Now, there are ways that right now we are serving our city as a church. One of those ways is through a ministry that we do called On Eagle's Wings, right here at the church. It's starting up next Sunday night, and every Sunday throughout the school year, anyone who wants to come in and receive a hot meal can come to this church and be served a hot meal, be sat with people who love Jesus, who are showing others that they care for them, that they have value, that they have worth. That's one way that right now Harvest Church is shining the light and sprinkling the salt. On Thanksgiving this year, we're going to do a food drive here at the church. We're going to provide food for our local food bank, loaves and fishes. That is a way that we can partner with other ministries, shining the light of Jesus out in very practical and tangible ways. I want you to start to think, oh yeah, what could I do to shine the light of Jesus? What could I do to sprinkle the salt of Jesus? Bethany Place is a wonderful ministry here in Nanaimo that shows love and compassion and care to women who are just in a place where they need a bit of love and compassion and care. And we partner with them. We're doing a dinner in October for women, again, to come and to just feel like they have a safe place to go, to be loved, to be cherished. Our Christmas community dinner, where we have hundreds of people last year who came in, I think for the last several years, to receive a full Christmas dinner on Christmas Day. Now you might think, man, that's a lot of food. Yes, we like serving food here. But what we serve along with the food is the love of Jesus. We have an opportunity to shine his love as a church. And these are just some of the things that we do, and we're looking for more opportunities to be out in our city making a difference for the glory of God. Each one of us has an opportunity as individuals and as we come together as a church to shake Jesus' salt and shine Jesus' light, so that others will see our good deeds. They will see the church reaching out and making a positive impact, and they will glorify their Father in heaven. Worship team, I'm going to have you come. And this morning to close, we're going to sing a song that declares what Jesus can do in our city. We are declaring that we have a part as well. We're going to sing Jesus over our city, Jesus over our families, Jesus over every situation. We speak his name, and then we get to go out and we get to be his hands and his feet. We get to get in the game and make a difference. Church, we are meant to make a difference. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray, and then we'll sing together. Jesus, this morning I thank you that you have called each one of us on purpose, for a purpose. And Lord, as we come today and we hear from your word that we are meant to be salt and to be light, Lord, I just pray that right now that you would remove any doubt from any person's mind that says, I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I can't do it. I don't have what they have to give. Lord, I just pray that you would remove those doubts and you would replace them rather with an excitement that says, I have value, I have worth, I can be salt and I can be light in my world. Jesus, I pray that you would help us to boldly step out in the ways that you are asking us to. God, we don't want to be belligerent. We want to be faithful. So Jesus, would you show us again, lead us in those right paths and show us how we can make a difference, because that's what you've called us to do. So Lord, today we want to declare your name. Jesus, we speak your name over our city, Nanaimo. Jesus, we speak your name over our country of Canada. Jesus, we speak your name over our world. We speak your name over our families, over our schools as we start this new year, over our individual situations. Jesus, we speak your name. We ask that you would do a miraculous work in every area. And God, that you would show us how we are to be a part. In Jesus' name, amen.